A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Cam Edwards, your host, glad to have you with us today. The latest on the coronavirus impact on your right to keep and bear arms all around the country. We do have some, we've got some bad news to report. We've got some good news to report. And some of the good news is because of the bad news. Last Friday, we talked about the lack of lawsuits that had been filed to date regarding some of these stay-at-home orders that were closing gun stores in places like California, Pennsylvania. Well, the good news is we're now starting to see lawsuits filed. Friday afternoon, Firearms Policy Coalition and I believe it was Joshua Prince filing suit against Tom Wolf. Unfortunately, from what I've been able to tell, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court not amenable to the arguments that have been made there for a temporary injunction blocking Wolf's emergency order. And this, by the way, challenged Wolf's entire emergency order. And it's not simply the portions of the order that declared gun stores to be non-essential. Actually, it didn't even declare. It just sort of left it very, very gray and fuzzy as to whether or not gun stores were included. But that lawsuit challenging the entirety of the emergency order. We now have lawsuits filed in New Jersey as well, challenged specifically Governor Phil Murphy's order that in part declares that gun stores, ranges are not essential businesses and must close down. The governor has also ordered the state police to stop conducting background checks on firearm transfers, which in essence means that if you're not currently a gun owner in New Jersey, there is now no legal way for you to become a gun owner. And the governor says that will remain the case indefinitely. So, again, the Second Amendment Foundation, New Jersey Second Amendment Society, filing a federal lawsuit early Monday. The Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs is filing a suit as well. We spoke with Scott Bach, the executive director of the organization, earlier today to get the latest on the governor's order and what it means for gun owners, as well as the legal pushback. Take a look and a listen. Scott, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the program today. I really appreciate your time.
It's great to be back, Cam.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, every time we talk, I'd say 95% of the time we talk, it's about bad news in New Jersey. This is perhaps the worst news you and I have ever talked about. Obviously, the nation coming to terms with the coronavirus epidemic, and not to underestimate the severity of this, but in New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy has declared that gun stores are non-essential businesses. He has ordered the state police to quit conducting background checks. So at a time of an emergency, at a time of great uncertainty, the barriers that the state of New Jersey already puts in place before folks can exercise their right to keep and bear arms are now simply insurmountable. It is impossible for a resident of New Jersey to acquire a firearm and ammunition right now to protect themselves and their families legally.
Well, you're absolutely right. And let me just say a couple of things. First, this is not just Garden State crazy. This is the sky is falling. This is, you couldn't have it worse right now. The governor, a single man, has basically cut off Second Amendment rights to 9 million people. One man in government by executive fiat has done that. There's also one other thing he's done in addition to shutting down NICS and gun stores. He has shut down all ranges, indoor and outdoor, public and private. Okay? It's easy to impose social distancing requirements on ranges, especially mm-hmm. outdoor ranges. So, some people may say, well, who cares? Well, a core component of Second Amendment, it's not just having firearms, it's the ability to build proficiency with them. Okay? So imagine, so the Second Amendment has been shuttered by one man, mm-hmm. and we're not going to stand for it, okay? This is beyond the pale. This isn't just another bad gun law. This is something that if we let it sit as it is without fighting back, we're essentially agreeing that one man can turn 2A rights on and off with the flick of a switch. It is not going to happen. I am telling you right now, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs and perhaps others in a coalition will be bringing a very significant lawsuit that not only seeks to overturn these actions on Second Amendment grounds, but seeks to personally punish those who think they can turn off rights that are needed for self-defense with the flick of a switch. I would point out, by the way, in the same executive order that shuts down the Second Amendment effectively, provision is made for liquor stores to stay open, okay, and for people on medical marijuana to get their supplies. So don't tell me the Second Amendment is not a critical thing. It's the ability to, I mean, just think about this for a second, Cam. I don't mean to ramble.
Sure.
Why this is important, a lot of non-gun owners are starting to realize this for the first time. We haven't seen pandemonium because you can still buy food and you can still buy gasoline with what's going on. That's because, you know, President Trump is keeping critical infrastructure open. If you suddenly couldn't buy food, you understand in a second why the Second Amendment is important.
Okay? Oh, absolutely.
You know, we're not at the point where people have that level of concern and where people are at that risk, but we're one layer away from
it. I was going to say, you know, what seemed unthinkable 2 weeks ago is now reality for a lot of us. And so what seems unthinkable today, you know, I'd love to be able to say, Scott, that that everybody's going to behave themselves, everybody's going to shelter in place, we're not going to see violent crime increase. I don't know that. I honestly don't know that, and I don't think that that is an unreasonable concern when in Detroit, Michigan, you've got 150 officers at the moment who are quarantined because there's been an exposure. At least I think five as of yesterday have tested positive. It's a legit concern that, you know, the public safety net is going to fray over the next couple of weeks. And we have seen, I'm sure New Jersey has been no exception, we have seen the long lines outside of gun stores in places like Los Angeles, in the Chicago suburbs, in the Philly suburbs, and in Philadelphia itself. And it's important to note as well that not every governor has taken this step. You know, we have seen this in Pennsylvania with Governor Tom Wolf, Governor Gavin Newsom out in California, but Governor J.B. Pritzker in Illinois over the weekend said gun stores are an essential business. Governor Ned Lamont in Connecticut said that gun stores are an essential business and they will remain open. So this is not even a red versus blue thing. This is, I think, you know, anti-gun politicians really letting their anti-gun mentality get the best of them at a time of emergency. I don't think Ned Lamont is a huge fan of the Second Amendment. J.B. Pritzker has signed every gun control law that's gotten to his desk. But A, clearly, this is a right that is critically important to Americans right now. And B, I think from a practical matter, even if you don't like gun ownership, to close gun stores right now is only going to exacerbate fears and quite possibly exacerbate problems because criminals might feel emboldened at this time.
Absolutely. And more importantly, listen, we have 9 million people in the state of New Jersey. About a million of them are gun owners. Mm-hmm. What about the other eight who are waking up to this new dystopian reality that keeps changing day by day with degradation of services? You know, we're down to essential services now. And by the way, the governor's executive order isn't for a week or 2 weeks or a month. It's until further notice. It's completely open-ended. Okay. You know, they must be giggling in the state house, okay, about how clever they are to shut off gun rights with the flick of a switch. Oh, we can shut off because it's a state, you know, state point of contact for NICS.
Right.
We can shut it down. We can order gun stores closed. We can order ranges closed. Come on. How can you keep liquor stores open? Okay, that's an essential service. But, you know, gun stores and gun ranges and the NICS system have to close because they're not essential. Oh, really? Are you going to take responsibility for protecting every one of those 9 million people? I don't think so. You know, this is a power grab. It's a test to see what they can get away with. And I'm telling you, in New Jersey, we're not going to take it. We're going to hit back. We're going to hit back hard. And we're going to hit back personal. Okay? It's, you know, there's these sovereign immunity statutes that insulate lawmakers from liability. Okay? Except where they consent to be sued. Well, those laws will not protect someone who thinks they can turn off something in the Bill of Rights with a flick of a switch. And it's purely political anyway. I mean, there's no rational argument for, for determining that these functions are non-essential.
Absolutely.
Really. And by the way, their orders don't create exceptions for police. I wonder what's going to happen when police need ammunition, okay, and when police need firearms.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, so do you anticipate that this lawsuit is going to be filed today, Scott?
No, it's not going to be filed today. It, we're building coalitions and doing our research. You know, we're not in so much of a rush to file. We're in a rush to develop the best case that's going to have the best chance of winning. So I would say within a couple of weeks at most, we will be filed. But there is a frenzy of work that is going on behind the scenes.
Okay. And in the meantime, what is your advice to gun owners in the state? Because, I mean, the laws of the state of New Jersey, I was thinking about this today. My stepmother lives in New Jersey. She's in her 70s. She is sheltering in place. She is by herself. I don't think she's a gun owner, but she may very well want to become a gun owner at this point in time. There's no way that a friend of hers could loan her a firearm or anything of that nature in New Jersey. I mean, she really is just out of luck right now in terms of becoming a legal gun owner, isn't she?
It's the 8 million that aren't gun owners that need the advice. You know, the people who are gun owners have their firearms. They can defend their property if they need to and their lives. It's the 8 million others who are waking up to the reality that they are completely vulnerable. And, you know, one thin line away from having the need to exercise the Second Amendment. Now, by the way, you know, turning these things back on doesn't mean they'll instantly be able to own firearms. They have to go through the permitting process and have the firearms ID card, which is an issue we were fighting last week, town by town. You know, towns are just shutting down and saying, no more permits for you. You know, we engaged with like 15 towns, and I think 10 of them within an hour of us talking to them reversed their policies and realized they were. But, you know, now we're on a statewide fight. My advice to people who don't have access to guns and ammo right now is I don't know what to say, okay? Right. I mean, avoid trouble, listen, you don't have firearms and ammunition available to you now. That's the price. Learn the lesson. You know, this day will pass in New Jersey. Okay, some people think it's a trial run for something else. I don't want to get into the area of conspiracy theory, but it certainly is convenient that this has been used as an opportunity.
Well, let me
learn the lesson. Learn the lesson.
And so maybe we'll last question then. Do you think that this has the potential to change minds in New Jersey in a way that, the passage of smart gun laws and red flag laws could not? We have now seen, a real agenda. I mean, this is one step removed from confiscating currently owned firearms. This is denying people the ability to exercise their right if they're not currently a gun owner. Do you think that this will change attitudes towards gun control and towards gun ownership in New Jersey?
I do. I think that people who always said someday I'm going to get a gun, but just never did it because it was too much hassle, are going to be wide awake after this. I think there's going to be a lot more people stocking toilet paper and firearms and ammunition in their homes when this is over. I think people are waking up to the fact that everything can just disappear and their rights can be shut off. And it's common sense to be able to protect yourself and to help yourself survive in an emergency. Because in the end, that's what we're learning from all this. We're learning, number one, anything can happen. And number two, if you're not prepared, you're at the whim and mercy of bureaucrats and political animals that are using you as a pawn.
Scott Bock.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I appreciate you coming on the program. You be safe as well. And when this lawsuit gets filed, let us know. We'd love to have you back on.
Definitely. Stay safe, Cam.
You too, sir. Scott Bock, Executive Director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, joining us here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Now, again, we have a lot of new gun owners in this country right now. I would estimate tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Americans today are gun owners when last week or 2 weeks ago they were not. Ryan Kleckner
from Gun University talked with me earlier today about the efforts to ensure that these new gun owners can get the training, at least a bare minimum training or just a reminder of the basic rules of gun safety. If they have purchased these firearms and yet they can't get to a range, they can't get to a basic pistol course, they can't get their concealed carry coursework done, there are some online resources that will at least allow them to understand the basics of firearm safety so that hopefully all of these new gun owners can be safe and responsible with their new firearms. Take a look and a listen to our conversation with Ryan Kluckner. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on the program, sir. It's good talking with you today.
Cam, good to be here, man.
And it's great to see you. Hopefully you're sheltered in place. Everything's going okay?
Yeah, we're doing great here. It's funny. This is not what the apocalypse was going to be like in my mind. You know, I'm dressed a lot more comfortably. I'm spending a lot more, much more time on Netflix, not driving around in dune buggies. And
Yeah, right. I know. I've got my leather loincloth still in my closet. It's you know, first of all, it's not warm enough to wear yet. But right. Secondly, you know, we have not seen civilizational collapse. Hopefully we don't get there. What we have seen, though, are a lot of first-time gun buyers over the past two or three weeks, right? I mean, this is incredible. The folks that I'm talking to say at least half their customer base over the past month or so have been people who have never owned a firearm before, maybe have never even held a firearm before.
Absolutely right. The stats I'm hearing from some of the bigger local gun shops or people I know in the industry, just like you, we talk amongst ourselves. I've been hearing five times, as from the big gun shops, five times their normal daily rate of sales for the past week. So each day they're closing, and it's amazing how much more volume they're doing. And then much higher than 50% are brand new gun owners. And there's a big portion of those that don't really even understand guns at all, which makes sense because they're so new to guns. But people are literally walking in. I was at one gun store and actually overheard the conversation of, I need a gun. What kind of gun do you want? Well, a gun. What do you want it for? To protect myself. Would you like a handgun or a rifle or a shotgun? And their answer was, yeah, whatever. I need a gun. So they get the need for a firearm, which is, guys, we should not skip over that fact. That's huge, right? That more and more people are recognizing the need. But they need to be informed too.
Absolutely. So I know that you've got some resources that you've just put up at RyanKluckner.com, right, for folks who may not be able to get to a range right now, may not be able to get that instruction. They can at least get some of the basics?
True, but we actually put it over on GunUniversity.com. So what I did is, because I had my website that you just mentioned there, and I have so many other websites for different products or different things I'm involved in, I needed one good hub for everyone to come and get all the news. I thought GunUniversity.com was a cool name for learning about guns. So right now at the top right of GunUniversity.com, there's a button that says new to guns, click here. And you click there and it's just a welcoming basics introduction to guns, including tons of other articles or reviews and things like that. But the basic introduction one is, I want to let gun owners know that, new gun owners know that we are an extremely welcoming group. I think we get painted with a bad light. The anti-gun crowd thinks we're just these bad people, and we're actually way more accepting than they are, I think. Oh, one of the anti-gunners wants to come and join us, we're going to say, come on, come join us. Please, come in. I'm not so sure the other way around. So the point of the article is to say, here's how you buy a gun. Here's how you know what gun might be right for you. Here's what basic firearm safety is. And, you know, firearm safety sounds great, but if you don't know how to actually handle and load and unload your own gun, it's not going to help you very much. So we go through that. We just walk them through step by step.
That's fantastic. So GunUniversity.com, if you're a gun owner and you know somebody who has just purchased a gun, they've reached out to you, there's a resource that you can offer them. If you're a new gun owner who's tuning in right now, welcome. And again, GunUniversity.com is a fantastic resource. And again, let's talk about those new gun owners, Ryan. I just spoke a little bit ago with Scott Bach, who's the executive director of the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs. They, too, have seen a lot of new gun owners in New Jersey, or at least people trying to become new gun owners. Now, Governor Murphy has shut down gun stores. He's not allowing the state police to conduct background checks. Ranges have closed. I think, and Scott agreed with me, that this is going to be a game changer going forward in New Jersey in terms of how people view their right to keep and bear arms. And I think that that is true around the country. I think this has been a wake-up call for a lot of individuals that, you know what, they don't want to be defenseless. They don't want to be able to not protect their family. And how do you see what we're witnessing right now? How do you see this impacting the – the debate over our right to keep and bear arms going forward.
I think it's great news all around. At first, it's great news for the industry selfishly because we've had a lot of stock built up. I'm glad it's getting moved out. But for the politics and for gun rights, it's amazing. Me trying to argue with someone who's not exactly pro-gun, but maybe not anti-gun, but they're just not a gun owner, and trying to explain to them background checks, for example, Cam. I mentioned to you before when we've talked that that's one of the hardest arguments I have to make about why universal background checks is a bad idea. And it is a bad idea, but it's a difficult argument to make. Now it's much easier when that person that may have just even been middle of the road in guns and said, well, of course we have to do background checks or anything. They walk into a gun shop because they're panicked and they need to get a gun. And they're told by the gun salesman, sorry, you can't have a gun because they shut down background checks for the day. Or, you know, the office is shut down. Or you have to wait 10 days. And by the way, our state might shut us down before that 10 days is up, so you won't be able to come pick up your gun. People are starting to realize it. And we're never going to get, I'm convinced of this, we're never going to get more of an influx of non-gun people turning into gun people than these few weeks we're dealing with right now. And I think it's on us as a gun community, including the gun stores, to gently nudge and remind them, yes, these hurdles might be a little too much. Will you please remember that next time this legislation comes up for a vote?
Absolutely. Because, you know, what you just talk about, you know, going back to New Jersey here, there are so many levers that the governor can switch and just immediately deprive people of the right to keep and bear arms, whether it's the, you know, the firearms ID cards that are issued by the towns or the counties. Obviously, the concealed carry license, which is already very difficult to get, the pistol purchase permit, which you have to get in New Jersey if you want to buy a handgun, and then the background check system, right? So there are all of those layers of bureaucracy that can just get turned off by one guy, and all of a sudden your rights disappear. If this isn't a wake-up call for a lot of Americans, I don't know what it's going to take because they're asleep at the switch.
Yeah. It's something that I would have argued 6 months ago, and someone may have thought I was being a little crazy to say, how easy could the governor flip that switch that you're talking about, Cam? I could say, look, you could just turn those rights off, and everyone's going to say, oh, that's not going to happen. Well, now I'm kind of glad it's happening. And that, as far as I can tell, we don't have major problems with it yet. I think these little bit of hiccups that we're having right now and these problems are great. It brings it to everyone's attention and maybe we can get this thing fixed. But you're right. What happens when a governor says a gun store is not an essential business? You either just shut off all gun sales or you forced everyone to the private market, which is not what these governors want to do either.
Right. No, absolutely. And you know, I've been encouraged to see a couple of Democrats so far, J.B. Pritzker in Illinois, Ned Lamont in Connecticut, both declaring that gun stores are, in fact, essential businesses. They will be allowed to remain open. I think that's obviously the right move constitutionally. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's the right move, Ryan, in terms of helping to keep people's fear down. You know, I think it only serves to ramp up people's fear if all of a sudden they're being told, well, now the gun stores are closed. You can't get a gun. You can't get ammunition if you can find it. If I'm a non-gun owner right now and I'm worried about protecting my family and I'm told now that the gun stores are closed, okay, now I'm really freaking out.
Right. Not only are you freaking out with the news, but you're freaking out at your home.
Yeah.
You're sitting there in your house realizing how vulnerable you might be, especially when some of these states are also coming out or cities are coming out with announcements that they're not going to arrest for certain crimes. And on there, it's burglary. Burglary is breaking into somebody's home with the intent to steal things. That's robbery. Sorry. They're literally not going to arrest people for that. And you're sitting at home realizing that the same government that now just said they're not going to come protect you and enforce the law also said you can't protect yourself. That's not a good position to be in. And the more we get guns out in the community, the more people that own guns, the less crime we have. We've proven it over and over. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess we found the silver lining here. I would prefer, honestly, all things considered, to keep fighting the battles that we were fighting a few weeks ago. But, you know, we don't have that choice. And we have to, I think, as gun owners, as you say, not take advantage of this opportunity, but recognize the moment that we are in, recognize this influx of new gun owners that are coming into the fold and working with them. So that, you know, when we come out the other side of this, we have a Second Amendment community that is even stronger, that is more vocal, and that is intent on protecting and securing our right to keep and bear arms.
You have people begging to come to our side right now, Cam, right? There's the gun owners and the non-gun owners. You have people rushing, flooding, being kept. They're trying so hard to come to our side by, you know, bureaucracy to come to our side of things. And I think it's on all of us for gun owners, not just the gun shops, to say, wait a minute. they're begging to come to my side, I'm not going to shun them. I'm going to embrace them. I'm going to, when you can and when it's safe to go out and social distancing and all that, when you want to go out to the range, take them. They don't know what they're doing. They would love somebody to offer to take them to the range or to help them make their purchase or to help them learn how to practice things at home when you do that. That's on us. We literally have a chance to grow our numbers huge here. So when we pick up the fight again with election time, we pick up the fight again the following year, we have more people behind us. This is a wonderful thing for the community as long as we do it right.
Ryan Klegner, thank you so much, sir, for spending some time with us today. Really appreciate it. Now, ordinarily, this would be the part of the show where we do our good deed of the day, our recidivist report, our armed citizen story. I have to be honest with you, we've got so many court closures right now that it's been difficult to find our recidivist report. Hopefully that means there's less crime being committed too. I would love for that positive development to take place. But we do have an armed citizen story for you today from Georgia, where Fox 5 in Atlanta reporting on a home invasion that resulted in the homeowner shooting a pair of burglars. This was in Cobb County, Marietta, Georgia. According to investigators, it was late Sunday night. At least two people tried to break into a home. A person described by police as the homeowner then opened fire on the intruders. Two of the intruders ended up getting hit. One of them died. Officers did not have any information on the condition of the survivor. Fox 5 in Atlanta says police remained at the home throughout the overnight hours. No word on if the homeowner will face any charges. I mean, look, if this shakes out the way that it's being reported, there is no way that the homeowner is going to be facing charges for acting in self-defense when a pair of individuals broke into their home. But that's the sort of boilerplate language that the media has to put in there. We'll try to keep our eyes on that story and bring you any details as they become available. In the meantime, again, I want to thank you for being a part of this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. We will be back tomorrow with more of the latest Second Amendment news and information from all around the nation. And it is a critical time for our right to keep and bear arms. So I hope that you will tune in. I hope that you will check out BearingArms.com throughout your day as you are perusing the internet or Facebook. You can find us on YouTube at Town Hall Media. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts at Bearing Arms Cam & Company. And you can become a VIP member of BearingArms.com at BearingArms.com and support the Second Amendment journalism that we are doing each and every day. Thanks again for being a part of the program. Be safe, be well. We'll talk to you tomorrow with another edition of Bearing Arms Cam & Company.